8:09 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On the line, we've got Shane Tucker, the Chief Deputy of the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. You guys, could kind of get into some things that have happened recently. You had Tracy Annette Dunwoody, who had been wanted for grand theft of a motor vehicle, fraud, illegal use of credit cards, and damage to property, right?
We do. That warrant is still active, and we would certainly love to see Ms. Dunwoody. So if you know where she's at, maybe you could call our Crime Stoppers, 437-STOP, give us a hint, or give us a call and let us pick her up so we can get this taken care of.
Yeah, most definitely. You also had an incident, I think it was a Thursday maybe or Friday, where you were serving a warrant and related it to some domestic violence, and that took a very bad turn, right?
Well, we did. You know, Andrew, you and I talk about domestic violence all the time and what a pervasive problem it is. And Thursday, we had a very poignant reminder of just how violent it can be. We had an individual that was had been arrested for some domestic violence allegations, and as a result of that arrest was subject to a restraining order. He had a domestic violence injunction in place to try to keep him away from his victim. And he violated that, as often folks will. And when the deputies went to arrest him, they saw him at the house, and he took off running. So the deputies, of course, they gave chase, and they were ultimately able to get him cornered up to where he couldn't get away. And before they moved in to arrest him, evidently he shot himself. And you know what that means is he was carrying a concealed firearm with him just as he went about his business. And, you know, that raises the question of, you know, what were his intentions? You know, it certainly it's a tragedy that he ultimately died from that injury, but, you know, he could have hurt other people as well, as domestic abusers often do. So a very tragic circumstance that could have even compounded.
That's why
DV is so important.
Yeah, it's a good reminder of why you file complaints, why you guys have to follow up on that, and why, you know, people who are engaging in that behavior or at risk of it are the ones that, you know, those ones we don't want having guns, right? You guys are also starting a DUI campaign, right?
Well, we are. It's a campaign of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It's a DUI campaign, our commitment to get out there and stop drunk drivers, keep everybody safe. And so from now until September 5th, you may see a little bit higher visibility of some of our traffic enforcement out there, our deputies and our traffic enforcement deputies. You know, we'll always have a zero tolerance policy for impaired driving, but over the next several days, we're going to pay extra attention to it. So if you're driving after having been drinking, we're going to be looking for you.
Well, that's a good note to get out, and again, a problem that we're always working on trying to get better. You guys, you know, there's a story that we've been covering quite a bit here the last few days, week or so, which is the reduction in Baker Act intakes at Florida West Hospital, and also at, well, not a reduction at Baptist, but and Florida West has now agreed to extend for 90 days their adult intake. But what it got me thinking about is I talked to, you know, Sheriff Simmons about this, and I was also going to ask you guys, when you guys have Baker Acts, where do you take them? And if you didn't have a place where you could take them because there's intake facility limitations or restrictions, what would you do?
Well, that's a good question. As I'm sure you're aware, you know, mental health crises are a significant concern. You know, mental health issues in our society present a lot of problems. You know, not only from the individual standpoint, but from what can happen if it's left untreated or undealt with. So we rely on the Baker Acts heavily to keep people safe, you know, safe from themselves, safe from others. And we have to have a place to take those folks. Depending on where in our county we initiate a Baker Act, sometimes they may go to Fort Walton, sometimes they may go over to Pensacola. And any facility that reduces their ability or eliminates their ability to receive these patients certainly affects our law enforcement mission. You know, if a deputy has to take a Baker Act to Pensacola, they're going to be off the road for an hour or so.
Yeah.
you know, by the time they drive there and do their paperwork and get back, if they have to drive from Pace to Fort Walton to do it, now you're looking at, you know, you could be a couple of hours, you know, at best, for a deputy to be off the road not doing his or her other duties. So, you know, that's a potential problem for us from a manpower issue, from a resource issue, but not the least of which is that, you know, we may have folks that need some kind of services that we're not able to get them to. So we're certainly very concerned, and we're certainly following this very closely.
Okay, and that's what I wanted to know. And just to, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but there is not a place you can take them in Santa Rosa County, right? I mean, you have to either take them to Fort Walton or Pensacola.
Correct.
Okay. All
correct.
Right. I just wanted to make sure, because people might not know that, and that's important. I don't know if you heard this story, but from last week, there was a woman, I think it was Oklahoma, they were kind of in the process of Baker acting her, their version of it, put handcuffs on her, put her in the backseat of the patrol vehicle, and while the police were there talking to witnesses and getting better information about her, she slipped the cuffs, got into the front seat, grabbed the AR-15, which is fully automatic because it's a police weapon, and she was shooting. And shot a guy in the chest. He seems like he's going to be okay, but golly, I mean, what thoughts about how you guys keep your weapons safe from people who are in the car?
Well, and I like to preface everything with, while I have seen that, I don't know all of the circumstances.
Sure.
I can tell you this from a professional standpoint, clearly there was some kind of safety protocol or detainee protocols that were violated. You know, it's not uncommon at all for detainees to slip their handcuffs. You know, that happens. They get their hands in front of them. Sometimes they even slip out of handcuffs. What I would suspect, there probably was either no partition in the cruiser between the back seat and the front seat, or the partition was breachable. It was unlocked or broken, and she was able to. I can't imagine any circumstance where an officer would have had the AR-15 in the back seat, so I'm assuming that she was able to access the front portion of the vehicle. But clearly there was some kind of protocol violated, and, you know, It could have been way worse. It could have been way worse.
Yeah, and just again, just for folks who are listening, you have the weapons that are available in Santa Rosa County vehicles to your sheriffs are not available to people who are incarcerated in the back seat, and you have protocols especially designed to make sure this does not happen in Santa Rosa County.
We do, and the way our patrol cars are set up, the rifles are actually locked. So even if they were to able to defeat their handcuffs, even if assuming the partition just miraculously went away and they were able to get to it, they could not pull that rifle out of locked contraption that it's in.
Okay. And that's, I figured that was true, but I just,
multiple layers.
That's, I just wanted to make sure to reassure people about that. And last quick thing, just because it's a good news note I'd like to end on, you guys raised about $30,000 for families and children with special needs from a golf tournament, right?
We sure did. You know, Sheriff Johnson is an avid golfer. He's a big golfer. And, you know, he's also very, very supportive of Emerald Coast Exceptional Families and other charities. So he took the opportunity to participate in a golf tournament and raised a bunch of money for a good group of folks that are doing some good work. So we're sure proud of that. And
love it.
We appreciate everybody that sponsored and participated.
And you're hiring. So if people want to become a cop, they should go to your website and your Facebook page and get more information about that. So all good news. Shane Tucker, thanks so much for the update today, sir. I appreciate it. Thanks for keeping us safe.
Have a great day, Andrew.